As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
It's rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to the Friday, Good Friday that would be, April the 10th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. I've got a little website you might want to check out today, vocallocal.org, and there's another one, ozarksvoter.info. Might browse around in those places if you like. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news of sorts, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. We're going to be talking all about this philosophical radicalism in this broadcast. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the telephone and call now for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call 512-904-8014 and join me live on air. Also at 512-904-8014, you can take Oracle Broadcasting Mobile. There's just follow the options there in the menu, and you can take the broadcast right along with you, especially if you have unlimited long distance and no roving charges and things like that. Heard all kinds of horror stories. I don't know. I don't have a cell phone. I wouldn't bring one home if they were giving them away free down to Walmart. Nevertheless, from around America and around the world, you too can call in toll free 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You can also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's William Roberts at P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. I'd like to give a big shout out to Micro 1650 AM. Thank you for broadcasting Become Vocal Local there locally, and also to our micro broadcasters in Owensville, Missouri. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for carrying this broadcast and making them available to your audiences locally. Again, those websites are vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number is 1-866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. As millions of Christians worldwide observe Good Friday and celebrate this Paschal remembrance, I will forego today any discussion of the economics and market news. Instead, we'll continue our study of pressure groups, public relations, and public opinion, take your calls, and much more. Before we go into that, in this first segment, while many of our affiliates and micros are away for their top-of-the-hour station identification, news, weather, and sports break, let me just say I thank you very much for joining us here on Oracle Broadcasting and on Become Vocal Local on this Good Friday morning. I really do appreciate every moment that you spend. I value the time that you invest listening to various talk radio broadcasts in the Truth Independent Media Networks and things like that. Ever so much, because if it wasn't for you, of course, my time here today would be wasted. There were things that I could do, books that I could be enjoying, things to read. So it's all for you, and I hope you'll enjoy today's broadcast. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this first commercial intermission.
Are Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth a thousand keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, Good Friday, that is, April the 10th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. My name is William Robertson. In the brief introductory segment of the day's broadcast, I mentioned that we're going to forego all of the discussion of the economics, the news, the gold, and all of the rest of that today. As we recognize that millions of Christians worldwide are observing Good Friday, I think it would be in poor taste, so I'll just forego all of that and go right on into things that I consider to be not only acceptable, but vitally important for us to understand. We're going to talk about various aspects of what are pressure groups, public relations, public opinion, and how that shapes law, etc. in this broadcast. We'll go in a lot of different places. So as many of you know that have listened to these broadcasts now for the time that I've been here on Oracle or elsewhere, I have a little bit different style about the way the things that I do. I've got a fairly good personal library, and I go through all of my various books, and I drag out material, and I present it on air, and I'm not at all adverse to taking two or three or four days, whatever it takes, to air out a particular topic or bring material out more like a homeschool classroom than just a pell-mell onslaught against your sensibility, so to speak. This is a quote. For those of you who don't have a copy of the Oxford Dictionary of Quotations in your house, that may not be exactly how the title of it runs. I rarely ever look at that part of it. I always just open the book up. But those of you that don't have, It's a wealth. It's a treasure trove of quotations, meaningful quotations, some of the most poignant material in various authors' works, things that the sayings that they're remembered for. And so I'm going to share one or two of them with you right here. This one by Harry Baron Brougham, or Broham, 1778 to 1868 is when he lived. And this was from a speech on the present state of the law back in 7th of February of 1828. He wrote these words. He says, "In my mind, he was guilty of no error. He was chargeable with no exaggeration. He was betrayed by his fancy into no metaphor, who once said that all we see about us, kings, lords, and commons, the whole machinery of the state, all the apparatus of the system, and its varied workings, end in simply bringing 12 good men into a box. 12 good men into a box. If there be any valid reason or justification for a government, if you will, no matter how we style it, no matter how much more we learn about it right here on this broadcast and elsewhere, if there can be any valid reason for government, it really is truly bringing those 12 good men into a box so that we can have justice in our lands, so that we can have some certainty in our minds that where there are people living in society, their rights in that society will be protected. As the Declaration states, governments are instituted among men to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's like having an ally on your side to know that there is a bigger stick, if you will, out there, looking out for your interest. But as so many of you also understand, much of this has been so perverted that today we can hardly find justice in the land. So we'll go into that and other things as we continue the broadcast. Again, from the same author, education makes a people easy to lead, but difficult to drive, easy to govern, but impossible to enslave. At the time he was writing, back in 1828, education was just beginning. Education was just coming on the scene, if you will, from the standpoint of much of what we understand as the modern school system. And so we'll go into some of that today also as we go through this broadcast, and we'll look back at the founding. Well, let's see if I can find it quickly. No, it's in here. I've got it bookmarked. We'll come to it in its sequence. But there's an understanding that we have to have that it has not always been the case that there was free and open public education. And so all of these things are additions, if you will, to the short and brutish and very difficult lives of we the people throughout the centuries, what are sometimes called the Dark Ages, but that's really just kind of a misnomer as well, all through the period of feudalism. Lots has changed. Lots has changed. But let's go back and begin again from this book that we were working from yesterday and the day before, I think, or something along those lines. I've referred to it several times on this network. The Politics of American Democracy, the 5th edition. This is a college textbook, folks. This is political science. Here we are in our little homeschool classroom, first off in the morning. You know, I'd rather be eating two eggs scrambled, hash browns, whole wheat toast, and a big slice of pecan pie, and I'd like to have mine heated with them a la mode, but instead we're starting our day off with a little bit of thinking so that we can fire up our minds to go through the day. And this is a college textbook prepared for a political science classes. It was written by Marion Irish and James Profo, published anywhere from the late 50s all the way up to 1971, the 5th edition, which I have open on the table here in front of me, The Politics of American Democracy. And we're talking about pressure groups and public relations. And let's start it here. We may regard both the political party and the pressure group as political interest groups, but we must also recognize that they differ enough to require distinct labels. And as I often refer you back to your Secretary of State's website so that you can go up and bring down a copy of the election laws for your state, you will see that the established two-party political system has been enshrined in statutory law, such that they basically those election laws were written by the two-party system for the two-party system, and they basically keep any other parties out of the system. And so there are reasons for us to go there to study it. But you'll also see, if you will study the Republican Party on the internet or the Democratic Party on the internet, that these are legal fictions. These are basically corporations, if you will. They are associations. They're groups. They're pressure groups. But they have certain status. The political pressure groups, such as, like they say, that I think it's the, who is it, OKSafe.com, OKSafe, and some of the others, the Terry Hall, Trans Texas Corridor people, you know, some of them have incorporated, some of them have become actual pressure groups, political action groups, and then they fall under all of the boy-girl systems that are set up for political parties. They are all involved with the reporting, making the quarterly reports to the state and all of that. And then there are other groups out there, like the various Ron Paul meetup groups that stayed away from or maintained better than an arm's length distance from the party. They're all different kinds of groups, folks, and we're going to go into that on this broadcast. Stay with us.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy, my name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And we've returned now. If you'll recall from our previous discussion on this topic earlier in the week, and you can certainly access the archives, and I strongly recommend that you do that, particularly for these broadcasts, because then if I'm doing my job right, this material will be timeless in nature. It's not day-to-day specific. These are things, sometimes I'll give out some news, actual news that is happening, but typically and generally, this is the backstory, as Doug Owen likes to call it. This is the material that lies down below the radar screen that makes up these various systems that are chaining us down into greater and greater tyranny and taking us further and further and further away from our roots and freedom. And as we started out this discussion earlier on pressure groups and public relations, recall that there was these three primary theories of these pressure groups: log rolling, group or pluralistic, and the power elite. And we discussed that previously. But as we were going into the break, we're saying that there are ways that you can start to track out the legal aspects of these various groups as well. As long as the Ron Paul meetup groups maintained an arm's length distance, if you will, from the Ron Paul 2008 Presidential Campaign Committee and received no instructions, directions, or financing from them, and bought our various buttons and pins and stickers from a third-party reseller like Cafe Press, or what we did here locally was we designed our own T-shirts and yard signs, and we were on the ground with T-shirts, yard signs, and all of that stuff well before the campaign ever got it going. In fact, we were kind of a supplier, if you will, out of our own largesse to the various and sundry other meetup groups and Southwest Missouri and Northwest Arkansas, gave away a lot of our material to others, just basically so that they would have stuff to put up and make their day. But there was no relationship between our group and the official campaign. So there was no reason then we didn't fall under the federal rules of having to do reporting and to have a chairman and a vice chairman and boy, girl, and a secretary and a treasurer and all that, and the minutes and the notes and the reporting and basically having the federal government crawling up our stovepipes. And that was a conscious decision. But it was a place where many of the groups could easily have fallen into error simply because they don't understand the law. And so as we began this whole idea about kings and lords and commons and all of the whole machinery of the state, if it functions at all properly, it should come down and resolve into a simple system of having 12 men in a box listening to the case and then finding you either guilty or innocent as charged. So, anyway, there's lots of things that are going on out there, and this idea of pluralism, the multitudinous number of groups, influences public opinion and law and legislation. And so that's where we're headed here. Let's go back into it again from the textbook. The purpose of the pressure group is to influence specific policies rather than to achieve control over the government as a whole. Another difference is the method of acquiring that power. The political party concentrates on winning elections, whereas the pressure group never offers its own candidates to the voters. The pressure group may be vitally concerned with every stage of the election process, but it does not campaign under its own banner, and it is just as interested in other means of influencing policy as it is in elections themselves. Now, the wisdom of the founding of the Ozarks Property Rights Congress by Russell Wood and others, and here in the Southwest part by Art in Virginia, we have styled our system basically as a nonpartisan, non-denominational, basically just an association, if you will. Not even really an association. There are just meetings that are announced, and then people can come and then sit in the meetings and talk. And we don't have any membership cards. We don't have any secret handshakes. Nobody has to grovel at anyone else's feet, kiss any ring or other body parts. And so it's just a place. It's like the town hall meeting. It's a place where you can come here in our area on a monthly basis to talk about property rights issues. And if you've been following the thread of this broadcast, you realize that all issues are property issues. Our chief property, our most important property, our most precious property is our lives, our bodies. And it is from that that all of the rest of the property that we acquire in the course of our lifetime flow out of our thoughts, out of our ideas, that then manifest themselves in action. So back again. The political party, again, concentrates on winning elections, and that is what they do. And precious little else. It's all about getting into the proximity of power or the control of government, which is why I believe they're just an absolute cancer on the body politic, trying to win control of government rather than operating within the realm of our constitutionally limited republican form of representative government. And we can go into that later. Now, continuing, we can define a pressure group then as an organized attempt to influence government policy decisions without officially entering election contests. But don't think that we don't have candidates in these various and sundry elections. We are just every bit as interested in seeing the sheriffs change and the state representatives change and the House of Representatives change and the U.S. Senate change. We're just every bit as interested in that as anyone else, but we don't officially sanction or endorse candidates. We certainly won't have any problem individually going out and door hanging for one of our local fellows that is running for office, but we don't officially endorse them. So there's different ways that you can style a pressure group. I like the idea of the decentralization of power. I like the idea of remaining autonomous individuals. It's like coming together in a barn raising after somebody's barn is burned out or when someone moves into town and they've just arrived and it's September and they have little time to get established on their farm. The people turn out with their tools and we'll at least cover them up with the barn so they can get their stock inside and their equipment inside. So then their furniture inside and their books so that it's not ruined, and then they can build a house at their own leisure. We'll get them under a roof if it's necessary quickly. So that's the old style of thinking. That's the old style of thinking where we actually knew our neighbors and loved one another and worked to help to see that they succeed as well. It's the idea of the equality of opportunity. We don't go around feeding fish to everyone. We just teach them how to fish. Continuing here, despite the unfavorable connotations that have come to be associated with the term pressure group, we shall use it in referring to this unofficial kind of non-party political interest group. So for the rest of this particular article, that's where it's going. Pressure groups are based firmly on the constitutionally guaranteed freedoms of assembly and petition. So they're really, we shouldn't think of pressure groups as some, you know, evil entity. It's just part of the process, folks. And you can be part of a pressure group just as much as anyone else are, and believe me, you are. You're a part of a pressure group when you engage in commerce by choosing which products to support and which products to reject or boycott. You're a pressure group when you go out and about and you make choices on religion or education or on vocation, etc. And it's a huge, huge topic. But it's also a pluralism is also a socialist tactic. It was a tactic that was developed early on to do end runs around constitutionally limited republican forms of representative governments, and make no mistake of it. Consequently, back to the article here, actually it's not an article, I'll just say article probably by default, but it's actually a textbook. This is a college textbook. Consequently, there are no characteristics of we'll have to pick up those characteristics of democracy right after this break. Stay with us.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Amazon. Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, those call-in numbers are 866-841-1065 internationally and around America. And from the Austin, Texas area, it's 512-904-8014. Your calls are welcome. Back to the text here. And recall, understand well that at this time period and in the title and throughout this entire textbook, wherever we find the word democracy, we need to replace that with socialism. Literally. Absolutely. Salting in this democracy, as I shared from Robert Hillman's book, The Fast Bullets and Culture Changes, Reinventing Government, it has been a drive of the socialists to alter our understanding of not only who we are, but whose we are. And they've done that through language. And it's pervasive. It's throughout everything. But so wherever the authors here talk about democracy, just throw in socialism and you've got a pretty good idea. They confuse, they obfuscate real meanings. But in all of that, they basically commit fraud. It's suppressio viri. If you want to take it to the Latin, law Latin legal maxim, suppressio viri, which is the suppression of truth, which has from a long time been simply understood as fraud. It's one of the many forms of fraud, the suppression of truth. So here, back to the textbook. Consequently, there are no less characteristics of democracy than are political parties. And that is true. You can't succeed in bringing in socialism and communism and all positivism unless you're able to divide the family and divide the people. Division, Matthew on Good Friday today, if you have a Bible, take it out and read it. Read Matthew 12, particularly Matthew 12, I believe it starts right around Matthew 12 and 24. And understand that it is a long-known tenet that a house divided against itself is not going to stand, that a nation divided among, of its, between itself shall surely fall. Aristotle, writing probably before those, well, long before those words were written in Matthew, Aristotle writing in that, he starts his development of politics at the household, at the man and his wife and his children, and then it expands from there. So when you come in and you start dividing up, we'll just simply say there's nothing more characteristic of democracy than political parties, and they're anathema to a free people. Then they throw this in right behind it. Freedom of speech and freedom of the press would mean little if various interests could not translate them into organized attempts to gain recognition. And that's a true statement. Once we dissect the paragraph properly and remove that socialist poison that came in right before it. But here, continuing, and the basic function of pressure groups is just that. It's to give political expression to the values or the interests of minority groups. And there's truth to that. Just as political parties strive to mobilize a majority of the voters, pressure groups serve to give special representation to minorities. And the difference is that in the socialist nanny state of America, the minorities are always trying to eat out the substance of the majority. So often is the case. And they move to positions of power and proximity of power, and they pervert public opinion and public pressure, but we'll get into that greater detail at another time. Just for now, we'll concentrate on pressure groups and public relations. For the political system as a whole, then, they play an indispensable part in identifying the various interests in society. And that they do. Everybody has a dog that's biting them on the tail, and they have a special interest then. There's something that's bugging them, and they feel as though they want to have a fair hearing on that. But again, it goes all the way back to the 12 men in the box, doesn't it? Our rights, my rights, end where the rights of someone else's begin. And as Thomas Jefferson said, I care not, and this is a paraphrase, I don't have it in front of me, but I care not whether my neighbor has a dozen gods or no gods. It doesn't impact me one iota. And I don't care whether my neighbor grows wheat or whether he grows barley, as long as his wheat and his barley seeds stay in his field and I can continue to grow corn, then it doesn't bother me. As long as he doesn't come in with some genetically modified corn crop and infect my corn crop with his corn crop and have me come under Monsanto's regulations, then I don't care what my neighbor grows in his field. It's no concern of mine. Anyway, that kind of an idea. Additional functions of pressure groups include stimulating interest and participation in politics, and that it does. But rather than using the term politics, 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 could we please just understand this as representation? The perversion is politics. The tool is representatives. It's different. It's not the same. They function differently. And through demands on candidates, classifying issues during election campaigns. Well, there's certainly much hay made of that, isn't there? Through the various demands on the candidates, clarifying issues during election campaigns. Unfortunately, the issues that are clarified and championed during election campaigns, American style in the 21st century, don't seem to translate into action steps by governments later, do they? Continuing here, the principal activity of pressure group spokesmen in Washington is not, contrary to popular impression, to cajole or to threaten congressmen. Now listen carefully. It is to interpret the group's point of view to government officials and, equally important, governmental views to the client group. I'm going to say that again. The principal activity of pressure groups spokesmen in Washington is not, contrary to public impression, to cajole or arm twist or threaten congressmen. It is to interpret the group's point of view to government officials and, equally important, governmental views to the client group. Now, what's he talking about? And what's the importance of that? First of all, maybe some of you have noticed as you drive along the blue highways of America and you're coming along, let's say, something like the Grand Canyon or the Blue Ridge Parkway or one of the various and sundry War of Northern Aggression battlefields. They'll have a building off there, and they used to be like called visitor centers and things like that, but now they're called interpretive centers. Interpreting. They're going to interpret what you're looking at. And we need to be very aware of that little dialectical change in words there. Because it's not enough to just simply say, well, look, this is the Grand Canyon, and it was formed in about 6 hours. When all of the water rushed out of this inland sea and went south. But instead they interpret it to mean some kind of a geological column that verifies Darwin's specious theories of evolution and all of the rest of the claptrap. They interpret truth and make it conform to the historical revisionism current in the day, so that the school children are not confused by grandpa's misunderstanding of the Grand Canyon. They have to have an interpretive center there. That way the children, the young children, can look up at grandpa and say, Grandpa, you're wrong. See what it says right here? This is the geologic column. This proves evolution theory. And you'll see that in magazines and in books. You know, I don't watch television, but I'm not immune to junk mail, and I get the stuff in the mailbox, and I can see the way that the education system is perverting our real system of life and government and understanding of history. Anyway, let's continue. Oh, well, before I do that, as part of this continuance, let's understand about this idea of the equally important aspect of the pressure group is to interpret governmental views to the client group. Let's say you take something like, Gun Owners of America, for instance. And on the one hand, you're collecting money and membership and whatnot, and you're presenting pieces of opposition to members of Congress, let's say. You're interpreting the wishes of the membership organization, but at the same time, they'll come back and they interpret Congress's position to its membership. And much can get lost in that communication. The whole idea about the right to keep and bear arms is obfuscated in terms like the National Rifle Association and Gun Owners of America. You see, the amendment has nothing to do really with guns or rifles. It has to do with the right to keep arms, and arms is a much bigger topic. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Now, I don't really want to get too sidetracked on this particular thing, but as long as I use it as an analogy, let's understand something about this idea of the right to keep and bear arms versus National Rifle Association or Ducks Unlimited or Gun Owners of America and so on and so forth. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Notice it says keep and bear arms. It doesn't say that every Jew gets a 22 and every Irishman a 44 Magnum. What it says is the right to keep and bear arms. And there's a lot more to just keeping and bearing arms than meets the eye. It's very, very old in application. If you go back and study the history of England and stuff, the rise of the Stuarts and all of that, as I have, you'll find that there's a lot to the study of arms. I mean, there are some people who focus all of their research on wars and studying the wars of all ages. And arms have been with us for a long, long time. But let's go into just a little bit more here. This is out of the Constitution of the State of Missouri. The right to keep and bear arms, the exception. That the right of every citizen to keep and bear arms in defense of his home, his person, and property, or when lawfully summoned in the aid of civil powers, shall not be questioned. But this shall not justify the wearing of concealed weapons. Concealed weapons is different from arms. Why I study older dictionaries. This is out of the, it's Webster's New World Dictionary of the American Language, College Edition, Student Binding, the World Publishing Company, Cleveland and New York, copyright 1957, on page 81. Arms. It's a noun. It's plural. It says, see also, arm, weapon. Number one, first sense, weapons. Two, warfare or fighting. Three, heraldic symbols. Falls in there as well. Heraldic symbols, heraldry. Four, an insignia of countries or corporations, arms. Those are all arms, etc. And then it also says, see also, small arms. Now, it continues, it says, bear arms, to carry or be equipped with weapons, to serve as a combatant in the armed forces. To carry arms, to carry or be equipped with weapons, to hold a rifle in a vertical position against the right shoulder, to take up arms, to go to war, rise in rebellion, to enter a dispute, two arms, get ready to fight, under arms, equipped with weapons, ready for war, up in arms, prepared to fight, or indignant. So there's more to arms than you think. If you go to the encyclopedias, especially the older ones, and look up the term arms, you'll find that it includes just about everything from swords all the way up to atomic howitzers, etc. When the colonists were going up against the great military might, the sea power might of England, the mother country, they hung iron sheeting on the sides of their boats, their vessels, their sailboats. They armed the boats. Anything, and this is rightly, in my opinion, the right way to define this term, arms, that anything whatsoever the king can bring against the people, we the people have the right to field against the king. And so, if the king has biological, nuclear, and chemical weaponry, then we also have the right to have biological, nuclear, and chemical weaponry in our possession. Why? Because it always comes back down to the ability to protect in the defense of our homes, our persons, and our property. And if we have any property in the lowercase united, capital S, states of capital A, America, we have our states, we have our counties, we have our cities, and we have our towns. And so we are well within our bound and well within our right to defend them by whatever means necessary. Black Hawk helicopters, destroyers, aircraft carriers, F-16s, whatever we the people can field. We can field against a tyrannical and despotic government, for it is not only our right, but it is our duty to throw such government off. Well, there, I've gone too far afield, but you get the idea. It's far more about than about whether or not you get to have, you know, a 44, or whether you get to have an SKS or an AK-47 or a Colt AR-15 or whatever they are in your possession. It's moot. Those are small arms. We're talking about something bigger than that. Our right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Anyway, sidebar there. Go back into it again. We can understand then once more it is to interpret the group's point of view to government officials and equally important governmental views to the client group that this pressure group, the principal activity of the pressure group spokesman does in Washington and locally. So we can just let that go for now. I think we've just about beaten that dog. Well, let's see a little bit more. In explaining each to the other, the lobbyist gets more attention from his own organization than he does from anybody in Washington. And that's important to understand. The lobbyist gets more attention from his own organization than he does from anybody in Washington. How many times have you heard the various spokesmen, whether it's Jews for the Preservation of Firearms or Larry Pratt speaking for the Gun Owners of America, or whoever the latest movie actor is that talks on behalf of the National Rifle Association, they spend more time talking to their group and to their constituents, perhaps, than they do actually talking to anybody in Washington. And the bottom line so often is the collection of funds. More money. More money. More money. We need more money. More money. More money. By the way, and more money. And here's a couple of postcards to send to your congressman, as if that's going to do a lot of good. Anyway, every time I've ever sent in those postcards, folks, what I get back is a boilerplate letter. They knew that they already knew in advance they could expect to have, let's say, the Gun Owners of America send out 10,000 envelopes to their listeners, and that they should expect or anticipate getting 5,000 or 6,000 postcards. So they already have a letter written there, and they just send it back and go, "Oh, Mr. Roberts, I can understand and appreciate the value of what you're saying, but fear not, Congressman Blunt shares he can feel your pain, and he'll stand by the gun issues." Right. Anyway, I'm off on a rant. Don't need to go there. And the information then he feeds his clients informs them of what the governmental decision makers want, why they want it, and the positions of opposing interest that must be taken into account. So the bottom line of these pressure groups so often when they're interacting with government is that the report back to their constituents, it's just simply they just tell them, well, this is what the governmental decision makers want, and this is why they want it, and you might as well just face up to it because it's coming into place. And so it kind of works as a steam valve, a safety valve. And that's why, and I agree on this point, and I agree very much with host here and one of the principals of Oracle Broadcasting, Lee Rogers. I agree with him when he cautions you about jumping out and joining up with a bunch of groups. We always work as individuals. How can we be anything other than individuals? We are always men and women, and we have our own limited interests relating to our individuality. And when we come together and work with others, we do so as individuals working together. And it needn't be, and in this perilous time, ought perhaps not be, under some corporate entity where we're bound to rules and regulations imposed from above by the very system that we're standing in opposition to. Think about it. There's more to this big issue than meets the eye. Here we go, dropping down a little bit further in this particular article. It says, ironically, a group that hires specialists to push its views learns more than it teaches and becomes co-opted by the system. How much more honest can you get out of a college textbook than that? Ironically, a group that hires specialists to push its views learns more than it teaches and becomes co-opted by the system. Oh, don't worry, friends. We have plenty of money and we have lawyers. We have attorneys working on our side. Well, you know it's game over at that point, don't you? They're members of the Bar Association. You're whipped before you've begun. We'll be right back on the other side. Stay with us for hour number two.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Friday, Good Friday, that is, April the 10th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and as always, I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. But we've foregone the news for this one. There doesn't seem to be much news that wasn't regurgitorium off the internet when I looked this morning, and of course, as millions of Christians worldwide observe Good Friday and celebrate this Paschal remembrance, I do forego any discussion of the economic and market news today. There are lots of people that might offend, and there's no reason to offend when there's no offense necessary. But what we're talking about today, and we're continuing in the second hour, began in the first, is our concept of pressure groups and public relations and public opinion. And if you missed the first hour, do go back and check it out on the archives, because that is going to be material that I'm going to go back to time and time again. That was the this various discussion came out of the Politics of the American Democracy, the fifth edition, published back in 1971, a college textbook on political science. And kind of as a sidebar, we went into a little bit of a discussion about the right to keep and bear arms. In this hour, I'm going to pick up another text here, another book, one that I value in my library. I so value the books that I get from the Liberty Fund book company. They publish, they resurrect books. I mean, they go out and they find these obscure but valuable texts, and they bring them back. They find an editor, someone to work with them, and they bring them back into circulation. And you can go up on their website. It's the Liberty Fund. I think Liberty Fund Books or Liberty Fund Inc. Just check it out. They're a bookseller. They have lots of books on e-books that you can download as well. And I know we have other booksellers here as sponsors, and one of these days I'll go in and check out their stuff and perhaps acquire some of the material so that I can plug their books on there too. I'm not saying that Liberty Fund is a sponsor, but I would really like to see them join our circle of sponsors, our family of sponsors, because they provide a very valuable intellectual service. But this book, published by them, was written originally by a man named A.V. Dicey. A.V. Dicey. Albert Venn Dicey. And Albert Venn Dicey is an important fellow. We'll find out more about him in a moment. But this is his lectures on the relation between law and public opinion in England during the 19th century. Now, the 19th century, everybody's going to roll their eyes and go, oh gosh, here we go, we're going off into the cobwebs again. But in a way, not. Because so much of our law is founded upon principles that are ancient. And when we fail to realize that, then we fail to realize the system of law that we actually had when this country was founded. And we don't understand, as they say, those who don't know their rights don't know when their rights have been taken away. Those who don't understand jurisprudence, and not everyone is interested, I know that. But those that don't know the history of law, then of course they can't recognize law today for what it is, the perversion that it is, that it has become. So we go into this book a little bit, and we're going to play around with it. I'll tell you what, some of the books that I read are so dry, it makes your eyes burn. But I just wade through these things. Just the other day, I started Economic Harmonies by Frederick Bastiat. It's a 600-page book. It'll take me a couple of weeks to read it, probably, because I read slowly, very carefully. I'm looking for things. I'm not just using the Evelyn Wood speed reading thing so that I can bring up a guest on air tomorrow. I read these books very carefully, and you should see my books. Underlined, highlighted, post-it notes sticking out all over the top of it. Looks like a Indian's quill or feathers on an Indian arrow or something. Anyway, we'll be right back on the other side and pick it up right there. Stay with me.
Are
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned right here on the Good Friday, April the 10th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local as we're going into the second hour of today's broadcast on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Again, my name is William Roberts, and we're talking about now a new book, this one, Law and Public Opinion by A.B. Dicey. This was written a long time ago, but it was published in regards to, in the response to or after the end of, a series of lectures that were given in the United States at various Eastern universities, Harvard and others, by A.V. Dicey, Albert Van Dicey. And this is an interesting book. You know, I come across these things. I've been asked in the past, well, can you give us like a bibliography of the books and stuff that we ought to read? Well, there's no way that I can do that. The places that I've gone in my research and the things that, I've come across in my studies are based upon other readings, previous readings. And I'm very mindful of footnotes and references to authors, et cetera, in the books that I read and in the various encyclopedias and whatnot. And I came across a series of references to Albert Van Dicey because I do read a lot of the history of law. And so I wanted to get a copy of this book, and when I finally saw it in the listings from Liberty Fund, I acquired it at once. He now has another book available in cloth that I'll pick up for about $11. Look for that. Then we'll talk about that after I've read it as well. But in this particular one, Law and Public Opinion, and how public opinion has the ability to shape law and legislation. And we've been talking in the first hour about pressure groups and public relations. And so we find out a little bit more about this. Now, who was this Albert Van Dicey? Let me just start off from the very beginning. My aim in these lectures is to exhibit the close dependence of legislation and even the absence of legislation in England during the 19th century upon the varying currents of public opinion. And in this text, in this book, what we'll discover, although I'm not going to go into it today by any means, but in this text, we're going to find that there are not only currents, think of it as a stream, a body of water flowing, currents of public opinion, and their impacts on law and legislation, but then there are cross currents of opinion. And they have impacts as well. So on the one side, we had the Republican Party claptrap about John McStain and all of the rest of them, the candidates that they were up there in the presidential preference primary, the plethora of also-rans and retreads. And then there was this cross-current of public opinion coming in through this venue of the Ron Paul campaigns, just to give you a clear word picture of what we're talking about here. We have the one public opinion of all of the Bugs and Bunny groups that rail against those that would wear fur coats, and then you might have a cross-current of public opinion by the actual furriers, the people that make the coats. And they have their, you know, rights being trampled upon by this vocal minority, if you will. So, continues here, he says, "We are all of us so accustomed to endow public opinion with a mysterious or almost supernatural power that we neglect to examine what it is that we mean by public opinion, to measure the true limits of its authority, and to ascertain the mode of its operation. True indeed it is that the existence and the alteration of human institutions must, in a sense, always and everywhere depend upon the beliefs or feelings, or in other words, upon the opinions of the society in which such institutions flourish. As force, writes Hume, is always on the side of the governed, the governors have nothing to support them but opinion. It is therefore on opinion only that government is founded, and this maxim extends to the most despotic and most military governments, as well as to the most free and most popular. The Sultan of Egypt, or the Emperor of Rome, might drive his harmless subjects like brute beasts against their sentiments and inclinations, but he must at least have led his Mamelukes or Praetorian bands, like men, by their opinions. And we were led into war against Afghanistan, unofficially, a police action, a heinous and gross miscarriage of justice, be the least way to say it, the most politically correct, I guess, publicly acceptable, and the same in Iraq, and we were done, led there by public opinion, thanks to the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center complex right on time. Nevertheless, people wanted to go to war because they were led there by their belief or their acceptance in public opinion. So this gets very difficult and it gets really deep, and I don't want to bog us down here in lots of deeps. There's so many places to go. But in this book, this is the book that I was reading when I first came across an idea that there was more to the pursuit of happiness than I had ever known. It was after they had read this book, when I first was on the air with Mike Chambers on his Midnight Rider broadcast, and then invited to come back as a guest host while he was moving all of his things down to the farm. But it was during that process that I ran a little bit, I started the broadcast off with a contest that for anyone who could call into the show and correctly tell us how the words Pursuit of Happiness found their way into the Declaration of the Independence, that I would give them a gift, a book, FAX, Road to Serfdom. And really it seems, and I've asked so many people now since then, the same questions, and I've started this broadcast off every day with the same words. if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness. And no one seems to call me on it. No one seems to check me on it or understand it. Or perhaps the audience just thinks those are words. I'm pretty careful in my speech. Just about everything is pretty careful. I have to be careful. I'm on the air, for goodness sakes. But nevertheless, there's a lot to all of this. But it was out of this book that I first got onto the track or onto the thread of this pursuit of happiness. We're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about some other parts and pieces. But one of these days, I'll just do an expose on the pursuit of happiness, and maybe it'll take a day or two. But this, we go in here, and we just jump in. The Combination Act, we're going back to 1800. The Combination Act, then, of 1800, represented the public opinion of 1800. The six acts of 1819 were certainly the work of the Tories, who, filled with dread of sedition and rebellion, wished to curtail the right of public discussion. wished to curtail the right of public discussion. And these enactments, which aimed, among other objects, at the prevention and punishment of blasphemous and seditious libels, and at effectually preventing seditious meetings and assemblies out of doors, aroused grave fears among all friends of freedom. And we're going to talk about that in greater detail when we come back from this break. But as we do, think of this as the Patriot Act, the hate speech laws, the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, and we find that just 200 years removed, we repeat the same history. We'll be right back.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
And we've returned right here on Become Vocal Local. I have to apologize to the previous caller. Multitasking is not one of my strong suits yet, and I love looking at the chat room, and so unfortunately sometimes I don't scroll down far enough and keep that Oracle Phones box open. But folks, if you'd like to call in, the number is 866-841-1065. I'll be paying attention to that. We've been having a little trouble with the phones so far today. It seems like the previous caller that called during the break was unable to listen on his phone. So maybe there's something that we need to adjust on our end. But nevertheless, let's continue along here in this discussion, because what we were going into before the break was this Combination Act, of 1800s, and this author will refer back to this from time to time throughout this book. But here, let's just drop down. We see that this is the act of the Tories, and remember there's the there were the Tories and there were the Whigs, and we had them over here while we were still yet England colonies, the Tories and the Whigs, and they were the ones that most of the writers, Blackstone and the others, and all were warning about having parties. They'd already had their experience with the parties, and they weren't interested really in going down party roads and party lines in this country. But let's just understand it. And so here's this act of the Tories, and the Tories were really in those days the conservatives, I guess you could say. They were the ones that were champions of the monarch and champions of the established church, the Whigs being off that. So we could say that if we could use it as an analogy, that was the Republican Party that passed these Combination Acts, the six acts of 1819. And here are some interesting, this is an interesting footnote, right? I read all the footnotes in these books. And here they are. The six acts were an act to prevent the training of persons to the use of arms and to the practice of military evolutions and exercise. Sounds like a pretty much of a frontal assault on the right to keep and bear arms, doesn't it? But in addition to that, notice they talk about the practice of military evolutions and exercise. In jolly old, throughout history, the right to keep and bear arms was more than just, like I said, every Jew at 22 and every Irishman at 44 Magnum. They were actually called to come out in the early morning hours, soft times, and they practiced their battles. They were exercised, and they were schooled and groomed towards war as a militia. And all of the various boroughs and towns had militias, and everyone was expected to provide a weapon. Now, most provided the belt, and if you look back and you go to your artwork on your art books and things like that, or your DVDs, and you look at the pictures of the Revolutionary War, the War for Independence is more correctly stating it, or any of the British and even the English or the American armies, if you will, they always have this belt. There's a belt that goes around the waist. It's 2 inches wide, and it has another belt 2 inches wide that goes over the shoulder. And everyone was required to provide that belt. It was that belt that then, because it was all, they were standard and width belts 2 inches wide, that all of the various accoutrements could be passed out and handed, and everyone could just hook their accoutrements on their belt. It's like having an Alice pack or something, or a pistol belt that has all the little holes in it that are all equally spaced and uniformly spaced to hold holsters and canteens and shovels and things like that. So anyway, here, the first of these six acts was an act to prevent the training of persons to the use of arms and the practice of military evolutions and exercises. This happening in about 1819 in England. Here's the number two. An act to authorize justices of the peace to seize arms, etc., to continue in force only until 1822. So this was a wholesale disarmament of the people from 1819 to 1822 in England. Point number three, the third act. An act to prevent delay in the administration of justice in cases of misdemeanor. Can you say rendition? Can you say detention without trial, without due process, without warrant? An act, again, to prevent delay in the administration of justice in cases of misdemeanor. Here's the fourth. An act far more effectually preventing seditious meetings, etc., out of doors, to continue in force for only a limited time. Free speech areas, the free speech pens. Preventing seditious meetings. Here's the fifth. An act for the effectual prevention and punishment of blasphemous and seditious libels. Can you see the hate crimes legislation? And six, an act to subject certain publications to duties of stamps upon newspapers and to restrain abuses arising from the publication of blasphemous and seditious libels. Perhaps the Internet 2, etc. So there's interesting parallel things that I was on last night on Robert Schroeder's broadcast as a guest host with Doug Owen filling in for Robert Schroeder about Rob Chowda while he was out turning some extra money, working overtime. But we were talking on that broadcast about putting this, laying down this this backstory, if you will, under various and sundry things that are happening today. And true enough, he made the right comment. I very rarely follow the day-to-day news other than just hearing it on the networks. I don't go into it much. I don't have a television. Don't subscribe to any mainstream magazines or publications. But you can't help but know this stuff is coming down the pike when you've studied the sort of things that I have. I could just about tell you the direction of most of where we're going, basically, because it's a repeating formula. And it is a formula. I like to think of the globalist, the high priest of war, as basically being much like and much similar to small town football coaches who only know one play, right up the middle for 3 yards, and damn the consequences. So we can learn a little bit by going into some of these books and studying, as I do. Now, here's a little bit on the greatest happiness principle, and we'll just pick it up right in the middle. These are the words of Broom, published in 1838. They strike the right note. Bentham, we're talking about Jeremy Bentham now. Bentham was primarily neither a utilitarian moralist nor a philanthropist. He was a legal philosopher and a reformer of the law. The object of his lifelong labors was to remodel the law of England in accordance with utilitarian principles. Now, as we stated in the previous hour, the primary purpose of political parties is to, for their membership, to get them, their candidates, to get them in proximity of power or actually in control of or in positions of power to control governments. And we go back to this reformer here, Jeremy Bentham, James Mill, and others in his group. And Bentham was primarily, again, neither a utilitarian moralist nor a philanthropist. He was a legal philosopher and a reformer of the law, and the object of his lifelong labors was to remodel the law of England in accordance with utilitarian principles. He didn't set for himself a small goal. His goal was huge, and he's had global impact. We'll pick it up with Jeremy Bentham on the other side of this brief message. Stay with us.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting edge talk radio.
Amazon.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again, and I don't know whether the call-in numbers are going to work for us or not, folks, but if you want to try, you can try, and if you can get in, you can get in. It's 866-841-1065. I'll certainly keep my eyes on it and see whether you come up or not. But let's go back in this segment of the broadcast and go a little bit further into who is Jeremy Bentham and who cares, okay? Once again, the object of Jeremy Bentham's lifelong labors was to remodel the law of England in accordance with utilitarian principles. And certainly, here in the United States of America, lowercase u, capital S, capital A, it has been the lifelong dream of many to reform and remodel the laws of this country as well. And they have done that quite well through the if we follow this, the chain, just pick it up with the creation of the American Bankers Association and then the American Bar Association, and from them and out of them, the Uniform Law Commission, and then the legislative bill drafting agencies, both federally and from the state standpoint, where behind the scenes in these various agencies, members of the American Bar Association are basically doing end runs on the Constitution. Separation of powers is out the window, and we create this fourth branch of government administratively, and we have uniform model laws, model codes, and model acts coming into existence. Oh my gosh, never seen it before. How could this be in states all across the Union simultaneously? And things that would ordinarily require constitutional amendments just seem to come about. And so, we can go back and look at Jeremy Bentham and his life and his work and his followers and we can see the same. All of this is Bentham's title to fame. His life here cannot be told, but it is well to insist upon the circumstances or the conditions which favored his success as a law reformer. And so the author is going to tell us a little bit about that. Both the date and the length of Bentham's life are important. He was born in 1748, 2 years after the failure of the last attempt to restore the Stuarts, the kings, the Stuart family. He died immediately before the passing of the Reform Act of 1832, a very important act we won't go into today. The last 84 years of his life thus span over the period which divides the last endeavor to establish in England the real supremacy of the crown from the commencement in England of modern democratic government. Democratic again. And remember that our man A.V. Dicey here held the Vinerian chair at Oxford, which was created for William Blackstone. And William Blackstone, Sir William Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England were a course of study in law developed by him and financed and, you know, promoted at his time, Blackstone. And this chair, Vinerian, the Vinerian chair there, was created for him. And it became one of the earliest formal courses of law. And as I've shared on this broadcast briefly in the past, I acquired for my own library, a 4-volume hardbound set of the Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England. And ashamedly, I'm only about 1.5 volumes into it, but I will read all 4 of them and report back accordingly. Very interesting to understand what was the common law of England and our roots. And most of our founders were well aware of this writings. So this author, this A.V. Dicey, Albert Venn Dicey, simply carries on in that Oxford chair previously held by William Blackstone. Again, the 84 years of Bentham's life thus spans over the period which divides the last endeavor to establish in England the real supremacy of the crown from the commencement in England of modern democratic government. And then it just goes on and on. Bentham was the son of a wealthy London attorney, Jeremy Bentham, and on and on and on, when he taught that the aim of law as of life was to promote the greatest happiness of the greatest number, he meant by happiness no far-fetched conception of well-being, but that combination of an honest and industrious life with the enjoyment of modest wealth and material comfort, which is felt to be an object of desire by an ordinary Englishman. So this threw up all kinds of red flags for me. I have it here underlined and highlighted, and I've got all kinds of post-it notes crowding around this, and the margins are filled with writing. But when I read it, it was profound to me because I had seen similar in other places, but I'd never had it so poignantly stated. Let's repeat it. When he taught that the aim of law as of life was to promote the greatest happiness of the greatest number, he meant by happiness no far-fetched conception of well-being, but that combination of an honest and industrious life with the enjoyment of modest wealth and material comfort, which is felt to be an object of desire by an ordinary Englishman. And now go back and look. He was born in 1748. So in 1776, he would be what? 26? About as old as some of the founders. Of course, this idea of the greatest happiness of the greatest number is not new to Bentham. I didn't know it at the time. That just began my study. But there's something going on in here. Something has been perverted here. If you go over and look at Robison's The Proofs of a Conspiracy, where John Robison talks about the Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati, as formed and founded by Adam Weishaupt, written contemporary with the writings of Bentham. You also see references in there to the greatest happiness of the greatest number principle. It's been raised from an idea now to a principle. The greatest good for the greatest number is another way of expressing it. The pursuit of happiness is another way of expressing it. And so we find that our founders here, Jefferson, the others, who got together and wrote up the Declaration of Independence, and no, it wasn't some moonbeam that came down out of space and Jefferson just penned this document, as I've found in many other references. Most of what's contained in the Declaration of Independence was well hammered out and talked about and rehashed and thought over by the revolutionaries, if you will. And so he was just basically putting together a very eloquent restatement of ideas others had expressed in assembly. But it's interesting to understand what this all is all about, especially if you want to understand modern socialism. And of course, you're writing in between 1748, living between 1748 and 1832. We can see Jeremy Bentham just in advance of Karl Mordecai Marx and Auguste Comte and Fourier and Proudhon and the others that put socialism on the map. And contemporary with Claude Henri du Rouvroy Saint-Simon, who is known as the father of French socialism. So this greatest happiness of the greatest number kind of sounds reminiscent, does it not, of three wolves and a sheep voting on what's for supper and who's going to pick up the tab? There's a little leaven in this particular lump, and it's been the focus of my studies for some time, ever since I read this about a year ago. Anyway, let's drop down from that and go to another section in the book. Just wanted to lay that out for you. It's where I came onto that trail. Maybe it'd be something you'd want to look up yourself. And the next time I run a contest for how the words, the pursuit of happiness, found their way into the Declaration of Independence, we'll have many winners and many callers. But let's go in, and we'll start right here. Just again, dropping in. Now we're in the period of collectivism, page 193 of this lengthy book. Let each man, according to the advice of the preachers, look within. He will find that inconsistent social theories are battling in his own mind for victory. Now, these are very, very dry and boring lectures. I'm sure that the students were just weeping to have to sit through them. Fortunately, you're not having to sit through them, even though the material that I'm covering may be a little bit dry. They're nowhere near as dry as the whole thing. And it's largely why this book probably went into obscurity and had to be republished only recently, because it just wasn't popular. It's not popular reading. It's filled with a lot of very, very useful information, but only for somebody that's as ridiculously obsessed with research as I have become. Anyway, we'll pick it up on the other side and look at some of these inconsistent social theories. Be right back.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com.
They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information, is only a page away.
The
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
And we have returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local and responding to a request in the chat room. You know, folks, we're all born. We all have opinions, okay? They're like elbows. We're born with more than one, and they're easily bent to serve the purpose at hand. It's kind of a thought that I just had. You know, this is the problem, one of the problems that I have wandering around inside of my own space, bouncing into the walls and carrying all of this lumber around in my head. But we all have opinions. Opinions are like elbows. They're easily bent to suit whatever purpose might be at hand. And opinions, unfortunately, have the capacity of changing or altering both law and public opinion. These currents of opinion. And they can easily be bent to suit purposes at hand. Here, let's just pick up a little bit more right out of this lecture here from lecture number 8 from A.V. Dicey. He says, the creation of the one word, quote, unquote, boycott, the term which has obtained a worldwide acceptance, came into being during the autumn of 1880. Did you know that? I didn't. Again, the creation of the one word, boycott. It's a term which has obtained a worldwide acceptance, came into being during the autumn of 1880. It spread far and wide because it supplied a new name for an old disease. Man, I love it when I get second and third and tenth witnesses. When I say that I focus on the disease, I try and correctly analyze the disease. If we can correctly analyze and isolate the super social disease that certainly besets our nation, and then focus our efforts on getting rid of or eradicating that disease, then all of the symptoms of that disease just go away, and all of the victims cease to come into existence. And so oftentimes, we're carried away chasing after symptoms and victims, and symptoms and victims, without ever focusing our attention on the disease. And I'm afraid for the past 7 or more years since September the 11th of 2001, we've been led astray by those that would have us chase after symptoms and victims rather than concentrating on eradicating the disease. Lots of time lost, valuable time, time that we cannot recover, which makes us have to work doubly hard. But once again, he says, it spread far and wide because it supplied a new name for an old disease, which had reappeared under a new form. It bore witness to the pressing danger that freedom of combination might, if unrestrained, give a death blow to liberty. So this, again, goes back to this combination law. The combination law. We talked about the axe. But what is a combination? It's corporations. It's groups, pressure groups. And at this time, people recognized it for the disease that it was, the danger that it possessed or was. That freedom of combination might, if unrestrained, give a death blow to liberty. Look at the combinations that we have today. Halliburton, Brown and Root, Monsanto, etc. The Rothschilds of Paris. Have you ever done any web searches on them? I did. And I was amazed at this incredible combination that they have under their name. Starting with them at the top, to look at all of the various and sundry product lines and companies that the Rothschilds of Paris run. Amazing. Almost everything that you touch in your life, they've been in there first, like a bad drug deal. But anyway, back into this again. He says, let each man according to his, according to the advice of the preachers, look within. He will find that inconsistent social theories are battling in his own mind for victory. I'm going to turn over because I'm running out of time. I want to get into this part. We talked here also about Rose and Milton Friedman's ideas, this freedom to choose, free to choose. We talked a lot about the difference between equality of opportunity as opposed to equality of outcomes back from the Declaration of Independence, that all men were created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But that idea that all men are created equal has been used as a battering ram, a dividing wand, a stumbling stone over the years since those words were penned. Because they're, if taken literally, they make false the writings in the Declaration. Certainly we understand that our Creator will not be mocked, that there are no two things created equal, not two blades of grass, not two grains of sand, not two hairs on your head, not two men, not two women, not two aardvarks, armadillos, zebras, or zygotes. There's an infinite combination. If there's something to be in awe of, is creation. And as the early Greeks wrote, where there's a creation, there must then be a creator. And if you understand the atomist point of view, there can only be one, because if there are more than one creators, it implies prior creation. And it needn't go into religion from there, but unfortunately it has. But let's go in here. The equalization of advantages. More of this opinions, socialism creeping in like a cancer. The extension here, A.V. Dicey writes, given by collectivists to the idea of protection makes easy the transition from the idea that to the different notions of equalization of advantages. Again, equalization of advantages. It's the redistribution of the wealth. It's bringing down the high and bringing up the low. Of course, we know that's not going to happen. We'll all be brought down to the level of Bolivian peasants, and then we'll be ruled by a super oligarchy on a global elite. But anyway, I just got off track there. Back to the text. Of the members of every community, the greater number cannot obtain the comforts or the enjoyments which fall to the lot of their richer and more fortunate neighbors. And against this evil of poverty, the state ought, it is felt by the collectivists, to protect the wage-earning class. And in order to give this protection, must go a good way towards securing for every citizen something like the same advantages in the form of education or of physical well-being as the rich can obtain by their own efforts. This extension of the idea and practice of protection by the state has not, it is true, in England, led as yet to anything like that enforced equality popularly known as communism. So this crying out for equality, 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 liberty, equality, fraternity, the watchword of the French Revolution, specious as it is, calling out for equality. We have to be so careful. Our founders were intelligent enough to set up a system whereby equality of opportunity was possible, but equality of outcome was forbidden. It was not going to be. Anyway, there's much I could talk about on that. We'll continue right here. This extension, I'm going to repeat because I was breaking up there. My voice was on the edge. This extension of the idea and the practice of protection by the state, protectionism, it is true in England, led as yet to anything like that enforced equality popularly known as communism, but during the latter part of the 19th century, in other words, the late 1800s, it has produced much legislation tending towards that equalization of advantages among all classes, which in practice means the conferring of benefits upon the wage earners at the expense of the whole body of the taxpayers. And I'm going to have to forego what I really wanted to talk about right there. Maybe we'll cover it again on Monday. And let me just drop down, because we've talked about education. We talked about it again last night on Rob Chowder's show with Doug Owen. We've talked about it. I talked about it with Avery Jane and on her broadcast there that one evening. We talk about education a lot. Education is very important to understand this. But as to elementary education, here again, Albert Van Dyce, you ought to know, up to 1832, the state recognized no national responsibility and incurred no expense for the elementary education of the people of England, nor did it impose upon parents any legal obligation to provide for the education of their children. From 1833 onwards, the state made grants, the earliest of which amounted to not quite £20,000, for the indirect promotion of the education of the English people, and thereby, to a certain extent, admitted its duty as a national educator. But the assumption of this duty was delayed by the distrust of state intervention, which was characterized by the Benthamite era. In 1870, the education of the English poor became for the first time the direct concern of the nation, and the state attempted to enforce it upon the parents, etc. We're out of time for today. We'll pick it up again there. Think about that, folks. 1870, government interference in education, and from thence it's been downhill. We'll be back.
One county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
History will always remember those strong stories. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.